Hello and welcome back to Even More News, the first and only news podcast. My name is Katie Stoll.
I've got a different name.
You do.
See ya.
Hello, see ya.
No, it's
I hate
joke.
That joke.
Oh my gosh.
I've done it so many times on this podcast. And we are also joined again today by...
I'm Dave.
Dave Bell.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, such a thrill to have you here. Yeah, guys, we want to wish you all a very happy Pronouns Day. It's Pronouns Day.
Pronouns Day?
Pronouns Day.
Cool.
Like our, you know, like
yeah,
honoring...
So either post your pronouns or post the one joke that people have about
just the
pronouns.
One.
What's the one joke?
Talk about the wacky thing you identify as.
A giraffe.
Career. Yep.
My pronouns are giraffe and panda bear.
Too funny.
Ha 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 ha. I liked that Julian Castro tweeted about it. He said, using someone's correct pronouns and giving your own isn't difficult. I'm Julian Castro. He, him, L. It takes one extra breath to help people feel seen and respected. I think it's worth it. Hashtag Pronouns Day.
What if it destroys society, though?
Yeah.
What if it just... Great question.
Right. Like, can you imagine if we had specific titles for people that we had to call them by?
No.
Like the world would fall apart.
Yeah, if every person had not only, like, specific word and, like, sounds that they are referred to as, but then also, like, qualifiers.
Yeah.
It's all the same. We all...
It's the end of the world, you guys, but happy Pronouns Day.
Yeah, when you like nod at people down the street, like human.
Yeah.
Like human.
Hello, human.
Hi, human. What's your name? Human.
Yep.
Human.
Oh, human.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, if Pronouns Day doesn't do it for you, it should. It also happens to be National Sports Day and National Boss Day.
Like the Huey Lewis album?
Yes.
It's a great album.
So, yeah, it's just
Huey Lewis and then Bruce Springsteen.
Does he have
National Boss Day?
Happy National Boss Day. Yeah. Bitchin'.
You've never said bitchin' before in your life.
Yeah, you can cut that, Nick. I didn't like it. You could see, I think that these two gentlemen could see the look of panic in my eyes
I
said it. Just my eye just kind of froze.
You could feel it in the room.
Speaking of fill in the blank.
Even More News
is brought to you by
Skillshare,
offering
Even More News
listeners 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. To sign up, go to
Skillshare.com/news.
News. That went great.
Uh-huh.
Okay, a couple little updates for you guys before we get into our Democratic debate discussion. There's a new episode of Worst Year Ever out now, where we talk with our co-host Robert Evans all about Rojava and what's happening in Syria and his time.
A lot of his experience out there.
Yeah, it is really fascinating. It's really educational. We warned you about it last week, and promise it won't disappoint. You should check it out.
I was listening to it on the way here.
It's fascinating.
Quite good.
Yeah. Also, we all pronounce Erdogan's name correctly.
Artabujan.
That's right. Artabujan. We all didn't do that last week.
I actually learned it from the debates. I think one of them, I think Cory Booker said it. Someone said it.
All right. Cory.
Yeah.
Cory.
Got my vote now.
No, a couple of you reached out and thank you. You know, should have just looked that up before we recorded.
Well, the trick is that you say it wrong on purpose, so then you can say, well, I did it on purpose. I actually
we
know.
Did it on purpose, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was Bernie. Sorry. Bernie is the one who said Erdogan.
Thank you, Bernie.
No, boo, Bernie. You lost my vote.
Boo, Bernie. We're going to get into it. The other little bit of exciting news is that we have been nominated for a Streamy.
Congratulations, guys.
Exciting. Congratulations to you as well. You are a part of this, Dave.
Thank you.
And we are just really so grateful to you guys for all of your support.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's
I'm assuming that at least a lot of you watch the YouTube show as well. So
yeah.
Thanks, guys. I will hopefully win.
Yeah. And if not, we won't do the show anymore.
Yep.
Yeah. If not, we quit. Mm-hmm.
So
fingers crossed. I don't know if it's. I don't think it's fans get to vote. But we will definitely let you know if it turns out that they do. Cool. You guys ready to talk about the debates?
Yeah.
That exciting show we all witnessed last night.
Mm-hmm. It's the last debate, and the election is in a couple of weeks.
Oh, thank goodness.
How many more debates do we have?
Like elections should go in countries.
Mm-hmm. Wait, do you guys know how many more debates we have?
A couple.
At least.
Too many, right?
Too many.
Too many. You know what else is too many? the number of candidates still on that stage.
Oh.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
How did we get more? How did Tom Steyer end up on?
He's a millionaire.
Was that guy?
It's Tom Steyer. It's
okay.
Tom
Steyer. I kept calling him Tom Sawyer. And I was
like Tom Sawyer.
And every time he showed up, I was like, who?
Yeah.
Where did, is that guy? Like, I felt like he was going to get escorted off the stage at some point because I had no idea who he was or why he was there.
I really don't know how he got. I guess, he's a billionaire.
Yeah,
he's been running all those ads for forever.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you get on the stage.
It's paid his way in. It's donors and it's polling numbers.
Yeah, but
you have
he's
to get
not
a range
polling
within. I forget the exact number, but you have to get.
I know
a certain amount. In a certain amount of polls. I think it's like 4 polls. You need to get a certain
or
range.
Or donors?
I think it's both.
It's both. I understand that that's the rules. I just literally don't know how he
right.
got that.
Oh, sure.
I get like democracy and all that.
Uh-huh.
But like whenever they have one of them say something, I'd be like, come on, guys. I don't care.
Well,
like it's not.
You're
not
wasting our time right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's
again. Yeah, I get it.
Like, I get it. Yeah. Well, yeah, you want options. You want people. It's just.
But we've
like,
got 12 people on stage that don't ever get to finish answering a question.
Well, there's also a certain point where you want one of the questions to be like, down the line, many of you are here because you want to be the president. Others are here to sort of boost your profile. And others are here because you might want to be the running
governor,
mate of whoever
or
gets
the running
it.
Mate. Yeah.
So, like, which one do you think you are?
Yeah.
And just like see what people have to say. Whose vice president are you trying to be right now?
Right. And if they say, like, president, and they're like, okay, follow up, come on.
Yeah, right.
Hey, follow up. Really?
Really?
follow up. Oh, buddy.
I was with some people watching last night, and someone was like, I want to see Julian Castro and vote for me for a vice president. Because
right.
I think that that's what he's up there for.
Yeah. He'd make a great vice president.
He would make an excellent vice president. I am pulling for him.
Good president, too, but, you know, other people.
Down the line. We got other people before you.
Yeah.
I wanted to start
the Ellen stuff, the important Ellen.
Yeah, really I think it's important really important Ellen we stuff. Get into that. No, we're going to talk about that in a second. I'm always frustrated by these moderators. The first thing I was frustrated by was starting with a Trump impeachment question. Personally, that bummed me out.
They talked about it for 20 minutes.
So long. And we're preaching to the choir. Yep. All of us want to impeach him. Everyone on that, we get it. And like, I don't need to see the different ways that you answer it. Cory Booker saying that I want to do it fairly.
Oh,
or,
wants to do it fairly.
You know, so-and-so saying like, by all means, yes, we have to. This is the, like, I don't need to see that. We are all on the same page here. You're wasting our time right now.
Right, and at that point, everyone has called for it. Even like Biden has gotten to that point. So unless you're going to ask like, why did it take you so long? Or like, make some sort of, like, frame the question other than, like, you agree?
And if anything, I think it just continues to add to the divisiveness of everything. let's talk about what we're here to talk about, the issues that we don't have enough time to cover with 12 of you on stage, as is.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something to be said about hearing. The only thing I got out of the impeachment was hearing some people more being more nuanced than others. And so it was like, okay, like, because I think that's the most I get out of debates is who actually sounds like they've been thinking about it more.
Yeah.
And so who's just like, you know, it's a little complicated because of this and this and this. But yeah, it's the least, like, that should have been the stupid Ellen question of the night or something like that.
Right.
Where it's like, that should have been the final thing or if we have time.
But yeah.
Leading 20 damn minutes with it.
Yeah,
I agree with him too. Like, not just the impeachment stuff, but just like making it about him.
At one point, they asked someone if they thought the impeachment was a distraction, and it's like, well, you're talking about it for 20 goddamn
minutes. You are literally letting it distract right now.
That's the thing that bothers me too with the moderators and stuff like that, where it's like you're framing questions in a way that you are telling us what you think.
Well, yeah, that's.
You're telling us that maybe it's a distraction. By asking that question.
So you're putting that in the moderators. Okay, let's talk about the moderators a little bit more, because I think, I don't know if we can all agree, but I certainly agree with what I'm about to say. Really seemed to be teeing up everybody on that stage to attack Warren, and they were doing it anyway. And we knew that they would going into this debate.
Yeah. Does that mean, I haven't watched enough debates to know this, Do they do that to the person that feels like they have the best chance at the time or something?
I don't know. I do feel like maybe like Biden got a lot more heat last debate. I'd say that. I don't know that it came so much from the moderators themselves.
A lot of it did stem from the people up there, yeah.
But, you know, it across the board, it does frustrate me.
Right.
Like, Julian Castro, what do you think about this thing that Warren said? You're really creating a situation where they have to get up there and fight each other,
mm-hmm.
Instead of making their own cases. And it, you know, and Cory Booker called it out last night of like, I don't like the tone of what's happening up here. I don't like everybody attacking each other. We all have our different ideas and our different plans, but we don't need to be like doing this so nastily. That's not the direct quote, but
yeah. It's a little cornier.
It was much cornier. But the sentiment was essentially that. And so I felt a little bit blown away by that last night, especially with the healthcare question. And I think we should talk about that a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
Because if you guys watched it, I'm sure you remember.
Did we just skip over the climate change question?
Oh, I mean, I had one note before this, and I think he was talking about Trump's presidency. I love how Bernie Sanders says the word disaster. It's like, it's disaster. It's
disaster.
He's got that accent that's just, I love it.
It's fun, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He does have a delightful way of speaking, if he does always look like he's so disappointed in us.
As he should be.
As he should be.
Yeah, sorry, healthcare question.
There were no climate change questions,
to make that clear.
There were no climate change questions. That was the joke.
The joke.
No, I just like, okay.
It's on us.
It just seems like that specific question really feeds into what I was just talking about with the moderators, mm-hmm. you know, like pitting Elizabeth Warren specifically against everybody else with this Medicare for All question and how she was going to pay for it and whether or not we would be raising taxes on the middle class. And Bernie answered it great. He's just pretty upfront and honest. Like, yeah, they might probably go up a bit.
Yeah, you'll still pay less.
Pay less. And I understand what Warren was doing. She didn't want to give them that soundbite because it doesn't necessarily look good. I also understand the point that she's making, which is like overall people's healthcare costs will go down. But she needs to just say it. She needed to just say,
yeah.
Like, yes, okay, taxes will likely go up a bit, but overall you're going to be paying less.
Yeah, the soundbite is less damning than
you evading.
Right, like be confident and speak to what you want to actually do.
Right.
And that's what people want. They don't want she uses the phrase, in my view, or the way I look at it a lot. Mm-hmm. I noticed a lot last night. And that's fine to qualify what you're saying. But when that's all you're saying, it's not your view. It's what it is, you know? And I think she just needs to, just say, yeah, they're going to go up. You'll pay less. It's the right thing to do. We all know that. Sorry, Pete. Get out of here.
Yeah, we'll talk about Pete. It's just, it's interesting. Yeah, because she's normally the person that answers things pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it felt like they kept asking her specifically how things were going to get paid for.
Yeah.
Was that just Pete saying that a lot?
Pete was saying it a lot. Pete was a little catty last night.
Well, Pete's got a lot of that healthcare industry money in his pocket.
Does he?
He seems
he's
like
the.
It.
I think he's got the most...
Yeah, I would see that
sector.
Because I wasn't confused because I think Elizabeth Warren at least said it pretty straightforward at some point. Like she didn't say
the taxes
are probably
thing.
Going
but other than
but she
that,
she will say like, yeah, I would tax the billionaires a bunch, which was like a regular thing with a few of them. And then they'd be like, yeah, but how are we going to get the money? It's like, well, they sort of said it.
How are you going to get money for your thing? Like, spell it all out for me right now.
Yeah, there's a few that, especially Pete, who would like shoot things down. And then not give much of a plan back, and it was like,
yeah,
well, what are you
more
offering
there to
here?
Just like temper the their ideas and stuff.
Yeah,
He had a quote that I thought was interesting too, where he says, "We have this opportunity, the biggest opportunity to do amazing things, like in my generation or something along those lines." I forget the exact quote, but it was just interesting that he says that, but it's also. Right. In the midst of saying like, well, not that.
Well, and so and we were just chatting about this a little bit before we started recording. It seems like a good time. The Medicare for All conversation that we're having on these debate stages doesn't seem to be adequate to me, we're up there each time talking about Medicare for All versus Medicare and the public option. And you have Mayor Pete saying, like, I don't know why you want to insult people by taking away their choice. Let them have the option. Well, because that public option fundamentally undermines Medicare for All. You cannot have Medicare for, it doesn't work. It makes it so that you don't have Medicare for All for people that can't afford it. End of story. And nobody is just using their time to say, this is why.
Yeah.
Like in really plain words that people can understand. And it's a 2-line sentence that just summarizes like the problem with the public option and why that's not what we're pushing for.
It would be super helpful if one of them just like explained it better. I think Bernie was the one who had the best, like at least soundbite where he was just like, we're going to do Canada, but better. And it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But most people don't know what that means.
Right.
But yeah. Just fundamentally don't know what that means.
But he does bring it up to, with stuff like that. It's like, yeah, your taxes are going to go up, but there'll be no co-payments. There'll be no deductibles. You go in and you get treated and that's it. And
wonderful.
And the distinction I think we're really talking about that needs to be made is that like this idea that you're taking away choice for people's health care. No one's like fighting with each other about like, I actually want Blue Anthem Platinum.
Right.
Well, I want Blue Anthem Plus.
That's actually what's crazy confusing. Right now, I'm trying to find a doctor and like, all the different plans that they have, it's like, oh, they accept this, but not that.
Going through those choices is actually stressful and not good for people. And when you have, like, they're talking about like, oh, they're taking away your private health insurance and this and this. But it's not about your health insurance. It's about your health care. If you have Medicare for All, you go to the doctor.
Right.
As opposed to like, well, if you have this employer, then you can get the Blue Anthem Plus, and that means you can go here. And like differentiating between health care and health insurance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the way they talk about it a lot is conflating the two.
And just sort of talking about nobody's, like the same thing. But for the most part, we're not hearing those distinctions, but also just... Again, the thing that I just ranted about for a minute, like just take a minute, someone up there, especially, you know, and we spend a lot of time talking about healthcare and it's just people attacking each other instead of laying out some specifics that can help viewers understand what it is that they're even talking about. Because right now, for many people, I think it's just these words and it's like, yeah, I would like to have a choice. I don't want to lose my choice. Mm-hmm. They've got a good talking point that isn't true. And I would love to see that called out in a way that's digestible is, I guess, my point. Woo.
It seems like no one has figured it out, right? It like the way they talk about it is they some of them seem less confused than others, but it's such a brain hurting thing to try to think about. And with these debates, whenever they talk about it, it's just, I shut down.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like anybody has figured out how to talk about it in a way that appeals to anybody.
Because I think a lot of people just shut down when they talk about it. And that speaks to the point that we're talking about of like, when you're choosing between all these plans and stuff, it shuts you down.
Yeah.
So like hearing them talk about it on stage is like choosing it.
Yeah.
And I think there's that just people are naturally because like nobody likes to go on a website for the government to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're the worst. So I think people kind of they don't like that idea of the government getting more involved with it. Like, I get it.
Yeah, but... I get it. And like, I mean, America's got this very specific idea of freedom.
Yeah.
And like to a lot of people, freedom is not having the government, a government website, and being able to choose between X or Y or Z, when for a lot of other people, freedom is not having to like freak out about
not having
where
to
you're
worry
go to the
about
doctor,
it.
Like the worry of plan and deciding and choosing and all that stuff, and then finding the doctor and going and it being accepted and all that stuff. That is, that's not freedom,
right?
And I think we need to. It would be nice to also have people up on stage talking about that and like how, well, America kind of has like a skewed idea of what freedom is. And if people were more free and speaking to like the life liberty aspect that we talk about, like, well, what's life? What's liberty?
Right.
Well, you life is water.
What is the pursuit of happiness?
You know, I think it all comes down to just we want the freedom to specifically go to a doctor, and if that doctor sucks, be like, okay, I need to go to another doctor.
Yeah.
Right.
And like just assuring people like that's always going to be a thing.
Right. That has nothing to do with how we do insurance.
Right. And like the idea, even like if we're, it's not the same thing, obviously, but talking about car insurance, no one's arguing over like, well, I prefer this car insurance.
Right.
I want to be able to choose my car insurance. No, you just want to be able to drive your car.
It's why
if you get into an accident, you get, you know, like.
It's why Geico has those commercials. Because I have Geico because I'm like, oh, they got the fucking lives.
Right.
Right.
Like, it's as simple as that because they know we're all the same. Like, we have to stand out in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exhausting.
It is exhausting. But yeah, back to, yeah, people really were coming for Warren last night. That was one example of it. There was all this talk about the wealth tax. People were attacking her about that. Then there was that Kamala situation. You want to explain that, Cody?
I don't even know if I can explain it. It's this weird obsession Kamala has with banning Trump from Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, what the fuck? Like,
what the fuck was that?
It's just because
I thought she was having a okay night. Kamala, and then that happened, and it was very weird.
She was doing fine, I guess, but like it seems like you're saying, everyone wants an attack on Warren, because I think also they're like, okay, well, Bernie surely is out because of his health thing, even though he had a great night and looks fine.
He did have a great night. Bernie was on it, although please, Bernie,
please. I want
to talk
about the old man question, where they're like, You guys are all old. What do you think of that? And that,
yeah,
that
we'll come.
Yeah.
Let's come back.
Yeah,
to that.
We'll come back. Yeah.
But yes, we should talk about that. But
yeah, continue. So they're like, all right, he's done.
Well, Warren is the one and that they really have to come for right now.
Well,
she's
so
not the front runner, but she's pretty close to being.
Well, yeah. They see her as a likely pick for people, and also while not being as like radical as Bernie, she is speaking to some of the issues that he is. So they see her as a big threat, probably a bigger threat. But so Kamala, I think everybody needs an attack on her. And Kamala chose to complain about how she doesn't support
banning Trump
from Twitter. And it's just so bizarre.
And she kept saying, like, will you commit with me? Stand up here and stand with me. And I was proud of Elizabeth for not falling into that. She's like, yeah, I think there can be people. I don't know exactly what she said, but she avoided that trap.
She dodged it. I kind of wanted her to reply with like, man, I don't know. That's complicated. Maybe I should think about it. Because it's that where it's like, will you say right now that this thing should happen? And it's like, man, I don't know. That's complicated. It has a lot to do with like social media. That should the president, because it is a complicated question. It's like,
well, also, I think
he be able to have access to the president, should have access to the people, but also if he's doing this weird,
but fundamentally, it wouldn't be a good look for her to get bullied on stage. And to do you know what I mean?
Also,
like, you can't even if she, but yes, that would be a good way. That I think that's something that to be thought and discussed. You know, I'm not going to stand here.
She did handle it the way, and I like that an adult would.
Where,
like, in a non, it's the least Trump way to reply, which is to just ignore it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or say, yes, of course I will.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other.
But
Trump
I was really put off by, I mean, maybe not everybody noticed this, but throughout Elizabeth's response, Kamala was making the most condescending, had the most condescending attitude going on. And she was like, kind of like, you know, and like shaking her head. I'm like, what are you performing right now? What are you playing at?
She's very
There's
performative.
A few people on the stage who would do the, like, instead of answering a question, be like, why aren't we talking about this? Or I'm going to start talking about this. And sometimes the things they were talking about was important. And like, for example, climate change. But it still bugged me sometimes because I was like, yeah, but what is your answer to that question?
Yeah, answer the question before you pivot, please.
Yeah.
You can say, yes, I do agree with that, but it's a crazy we're not talking about this.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a real quick break for ads, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about even more debate news.
Ooze.
Ooze. Hey, are your debate skills rusty? Do you have trouble saying sentences that make sense after 8 years as vice president of a whole country? Well, maybe you could learn how to do that and other new skills with Skillshare, an online learning community of already millions of students enjoying thousands of classes covering dozens of topics like marketing, photography, video editing, photo editing, productivity.
That sounds like something I'd be into, if Skillshare was easy to use, and if there was some kind of offer, like 2 months of Skillshare for free.
Free? That's how much breathing costs.
I know. You'd have to be an advertisement for a product to offer something like that.
Well, good even more news for you, because those animation courses you've mentioned before are offered at Skillshare, and that improbable deal you mentioned is also being offered by Skillshare.
So what you're saying is you can get 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free by signing up at Skillshare.com/news?
I'm not saying that you're saying that. But yeah, I would have said that if it were my turn to speak.
Go for it.
2 months free at Skillshare.com/news.
Skillshare.com/news?
That's what I said.
Okay. We often talk about the importance of mental health on this podcast, whether it be about depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBTQ issues, grief, self-esteem, all issues that counselors at BetterHelp are specialized in.
Bury the lead much? Even more news is brought to you by BetterHelp. If you feel like something's getting in the way of your goals, happiness, or even just your ability to get out of bed in the morning, BetterHelp can help by connecting you with professional counselors in safe, private, confidential online environments, the best kind of online environments. You can do video chats, chat rooms, texting, or the dreaded phone call.
Spooky. We can't stress enough how helpful basic counseling is for individuals and society. Society being something we live in. If you don't like your counselor, you can get a new one from BetterHelp's 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists. It's affordable. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. And Even More News listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code Even More.
We're all human. We all have problems. And getting help for those problems is equally human. So be comfortable being a human and start chatting with someone within 24 hours by going to betterhelp.com/evenmore and filling out a simple questionnaire so they can find a suitable counselor.
I'm going to repeat it.
Okay.
BetterHelp.com/evenmore.
That's it. And we're back for even more debate news.
Yeah.
Woo-hoos.
Woo-hoos.
Talking on stage.
Yeah. People talking on stage.
They're disagreeing.
You don't know what they're saying. I'm not good at this.
That was great.
Let's talk about Biden, guys.
Joe Biden. Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.
Did he burp? In his mouth?
Did he burp in his mouth?
Did you guys miss that?
I missed it.
Yeah, I must. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Let me find the exact note because I want to know what he was talking about.
That's funny. He was
talking about Trump.
Sure.
And I think he was the one who kept doing this, and I get it. Where he's like, he is the worst in the history of time. President's like, okay. I mean, slave owners.
Right.
It's that word.
Remember, like, the slave owners.
I get it.
Let's dial it down a notch.
Yeah. We've done like massacres that are, yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. It was the Syria. He was talking about Trump's move in Syria, and he was doing it's the most shameful, and he stopped and he went, sorry.
And he apologized
for it, and he kept talking.
Oh, I
and
love it.
He 100% burped.
That's definitely what happened.
Yeah.
I know it's not new. It's for me to say this. It's impossible watching him try to finish a sentence.
It's real tough.
Really unnerving, and you're never sure. And there was this one, I'm going to have to go online and find the tweet, but there was this one side-by-side comparison of like Biden, Warren, mm-hmm. and Bernie's responses on healthcare, and Bernie and Warren were so eloquent, and Biden's was like,
yeah, it's super
disjointed
rough.
And fragmented. And honestly, I know there's no real, you can't actually compare Biden with Trump, but you kind of can. You kind of, I don't, another person that can't, I mean, he's just certain, I know, but okay, I mean, no, it's obviously that Trump is worse than Biden, you know, in his crazy run-on sentences that have no beginning, middle, or end, and, you know, but it's pretty bad.
I would forgive all of that if the things coming out of his mouth
were better.
Yeah, because I think we notice it a lot more because sure. it's just pure garbage coming out of there a lot of the time.
He's just talking around things.
Yeah, it's tough because it's not even like, it's not even necessarily the things he's saying where it's like, I disagree with what you're saying. It's like, I can't even disagree with what you're saying because what are you saying?
Right.
Well, there was one moment that was, I mean, obviously the general election, like, you know, if he gets nominated, I have to vote for him. But there was one moment that just sealed it for me where I was like, no good, which was him talking about the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Where he said, oh, if someone steps down, God forbid, well, I'll do the same thing McConnell did and I'll block it.
Mm-hmm.
And all I thought was like, oh, so you're going to continue the cycle of bullshit.
Right.
Like, and it's that thing where it's like when our side does it, we still can't tolerate it, mm-hmm. even as frustrating yeah. as the idea of Trump picking.
Yeah.
We have to make some changes. Exactly. We have to protect against this from happening in the future.
Yeah. And he made me like something Pete said, which when he responded by saying like, no, I want to change the system. And it was like, oh, I guess I like Pete in this moment. Thanks, right. Biden.
And yeah, now I'm mad at
Joe.
I'm angry at you for making me like Pete right now.
Yeah, you want to change it.
Also,
well, it's interesting. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's just interesting the Biden approach now of like, yeah, we'll do this. We'll do exactly what they did in this. And when you like read about just Obama's entire like terms as president. Mm-hmm. And like his experience, Joe's experience dealing with Republicans, it's like this constant, obvious approach that Republicans had of like from uh-huh. day one, they're like, we're going to stop you from doing whatever you want. We're just like outright telling you like no compromise. We're just going to do it.
Right.
And their entire administration was appeasing to them. They mm-hmm. were like trying to compromise despite knowing that they weren't going
right.
to.
Right.
And it's this weird like. Joe like suddenly like, oh yeah, we're gonna fight back.
Right.
We're gonna finally do it. It's like, Joe, you had your chance. I don't know you.
Right. And I don't think he is. He's the most right, exactly. who seems like that McConnell answer was basically, I'm gonna use the same system that's broken to do the things we wanna do. And right. it's just he feels like that's him all the way, which is I'm gonna change as little as possible and just try to get by, and you know his heart might be in the right place, but he's one of those guys who feels like he's just some guy at work.
His mind isn't in the right place.
Yeah,
he isn't. The system brought us to that point and he believed in the system.
Yeah.
And the system has brought us to that point, and so we're gonna play that game now and play within that system because that's what it is.
Right.
And not approaching it in any sense of like, oh, well, what if we changed it?
Mm-hmm.
What if we made it right. better? What if we corrected it?
Absolutely.
I did find the quote that I think you were talking about.
The one about the side-by-side comparisons?
Yeah.
Okay.
I won't read theirs because we know that they can speak like human
yeah,
beings.
Yeah, just read Biden's, please. Them.
I won't read the whole thing, but I will say, I would eliminate the capital gains tax. That I would raise the capital gains tax to the highest rate of 39.5%. I would double it. Because guess what? Why in God's name should someone who's clipping coupons in the stock market
what?
Make in fact pay a lower tax rate than someone who in fact is, like I said, a school teacher and a firefighter? It's ridiculous, and they pay lower tax. Another bit, and then he says, thirdly, what we need to do is we need to go out and make it clear to the American people that we are going to raise taxes on the wealthy. We're going to reduce tax burdens on those who are not. And this is one of the reasons why these debates are kind of crazy, because everybody tries to squeeze everything into every answer that is given. The fact is, everybody's right about the fact that the fourth industrial revolution is costing jobs. It is. The fact is, also corporate greed is, they're going back and not invested in their employees. They're reinvesting and buying back their stock.
Nonsense.
Oh,
pure
no.
nonsense. But yes, that's his answer on healthcare, guys.
Yeah, that was a point. Right. I remember listening to that and having to look around the room to make sure I was fine.
Like, you're like, did I have a stroke yeah. while he was speaking?
Hearing that, I just got a really bummer thought that he's totally going to get
totally going to do
it's
it. Yeah.
Frustrating.
He's going to get the nomination because I think Trump, the way Trump talks is he's clearly tapping into like the way we think or something, where it's like we think in a very disjointed way.
It's a stream of consciousness way of speaking, but it's also really warped and gnarled. Like it's not even stream of consciousness because you can't
right.
connect anything.
But you kind of get the tone.
Well, because the way he speaks, linguists have even talked about this, like the way he speaks is his tone and his rhythm and the way he speaks seems like it flows. He right. talks as though everything is connected, well, but the words aren't.
But the words aren't.
So when you literally read them, when you read the words on the page, you're like, oh my God, what would
Which
he
is
say?
Why I...
But when he does it out loud, it seems fine.
I feel like a really good attack ad would be simply printing out the things he's said on stage.
Oh, yeah.
And like,
people read them.
And having yeah. people read them. That is damning to yeah. read that, especially side by side. I'll retweet that. If yeah. you guys listening, so you can read it and like see it next to Bernie and Elizabeth Warren's, because it's so eloquent yeah. and they're also under pressure and speaking on a stage and they're making complete sentences.
Yeah. Well, he's got these like stock sentences, I think, and points.
I'm
it's
really like, worried about this though, because
yeah.
they talked about this with the way Trump speaks, where it's like you can fill in your own interpretation.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Where he says stuff like these people and stuff like mm-hmm. that, and you can just plug in whoever you want to be in there. And it's really effective.
It's very effective.
As opposed to, I love Elizabeth Warren. Her biggest problem in my head is that she's kind of a nerd.
Yeah.
And like she's the kind of person I want running things, because she seems to have the most trouble being like, oh, I'm like you, I'm grassroots and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And like that awkwardness people, I feel like. It doesn't work.
There's
people.
A disconnect there, yeah. Actually what kind of bothers me. One of the most things that bothers me the most about Elizabeth Warren is that, like, the competing language, because she is sort of a nerd, and she talks about, like, towards the end in her, I think, her final statement, she talks about the grassroots movement and the organizing and stuff, and, like, we're building a movement from the ground up. And that's not really what she's doing.
She's also a politician. She's very yeah. much so.
And it's just sort of like grabbing of different like rhetoric and putting it together. So, because it's like we're a grassroots movement, we're building this thing, when that's not really what's happening. But also like
it's not what's happening.
I'm the person. I've got a plan. I can fix it. Kind of attitude.
How is she not having a grassroots? Give me a definition of grassroots that's different from.
I mean, there's. I don't want to.
I mean, okay, we'll talk about
Elizabeth
it more.
Warren thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think we will in the future.
Absolutely, like, we will. I mean, I'm genuinely curious what you mean specifically, because, you know, you do see a bunch of small donations and people getting really fired up about her. She's doing things that are differently. And I'm not talking about the 70,000 selfies or whatever, because right. we could do without you talking about that. But, you know, the small touches and touching base and people, are, you know, you can just see the momentum changing. And so maybe I have a different interpretation of what grassroots means. That's all I meant. But we will definitely be getting into it more. And I'm not just sitting here to defend her. I think if there's something that I feel frustrated by with her performance on the stage tonight or last night and recently, is that she does start to feel canned. You start to see like, okay, that's your line that you use. Mm-hmm. It is the same story. I understand that that's the message that you've been coached to project,
right.
but let's mix it up. Let's hear a different anecdote. Let's hear a different catchphrase.
Respond to the thing in the moment instead of responding to
and
the thing.
And I do agree with you on that.
It bothers me because I personally don't think there's anything wrong with her performance.
Yeah.
And I'm all for her. And right now she's my candidate. But like, it's the idea of, I look at Biden and I'm like, oh, he looks like a president on TV.
Yeah.
Like he,
yeah.
Looks,
and there's something comforting for people.
Yeah. And
they're
he
like,
says shit that doesn't quite mean anything, but like,
but
works.
People are used to politicians not quite making sense.
Yeah.
They're like, well, he must be smart. No, look at the sentence. He didn't say anything.
Right. And he's got name recognition.
He says clipping coupons in the stock market.
It doesn't make any sense. What does that mean?
It's like,
and
what the hell?
You can sense, like, can I know he's saying that the stock is the bad and the coupons are the good.
They're cheating in the stock market.
Yeah.
Where they're getting. And
but when
it,
you
exactly.
read it, you're like, that's not
how that's why I'm glad whenever he burps in his mouth. I'm
it's like,
all right, take him down a little bit.
Yeah, burp in your mouth, bleed in your eye. And
yeah,
like,
his body is like trying, he's like, something's trying to escape
him. Yeah, there's an alien creature in there that's
like
let me out. It's like, no, for the love of God, no. Just a little indigestion.
Yeah.
I was frustrated, I think. This won't be a surprise, when Biden did not answer the question that was posed to him about Hunter and whether or not he should have been given that job while he was vice president. And then the moderators, to circle back to the moderators, not pushing for it. Elizabeth Warren doesn't answer the question about taxes. They circle around several times.
Yeah.
Biden doesn't answer a very important question about Hunter and this whole thing that's going on. And they just let him skate right through. And nobody else on stage calls him out on it either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was bummed.
Yeah, he said my son
did nothing wrong.
Speaks for himself, or his statement speaks for itself. And there was some stuff of like, we don't want Trump's influence to get in this. And it's like, well, you spoke for 20 minutes about his impeachment.
Yeah.
Right. You bring him up whenever you can. Like,
yeah.
So, and it's like, and also, I'm sorry, but that is a very important question.
Yeah.
And we cannot be sitting here talking about how frustrating it is that Ivanka has access and, you know, the deals that are happening with the Trump family, and not also call attention to what's happening on our side. It's just hypocritical.
Well, it's not even necessarily our side. It's just like the
on any.
No, I know. Yeah. But like, it's the political class. It's like how our society is structured. It's like, yeah, it happens. Like, you can talk about, yeah, the Trump kids and this and this and this, and like, technically this thing wasn't illegal, but in retrospect, maybe this shouldn't be allowed. Maybe like, we should talk about how these relationships work.
He should have answered what my son did wasn't illegal, but maybe it's a bad idea.
Yes.
We should stop, because his son stepped down. So he could have used that moment to be like, yeah, and like, you know, I'm taking the first step here. But I think he wants to leave that door open for the future, because he doesn't actually believe that.
And he wants to lead the country into this system that he's familiar with and how things work, and not change anything. And like, when he's literally saying like, my son did nothing wrong, he speaks for himself, his son resigned and said it was a huge mistake. So like, it's just this weird mixed message.
His son sounds so depressed to me.
I mean, yeah, he's got problems.
With the interviews or whatever. It's like, yeah, there's not much that's happened to me in my life that isn't been because I have Biden as a last name or something to that effect.
And like, being able to even say that, like, you can say, it wasn't illegal, I still would have done it, but he wouldn't have gotten it if I wasn't the vice president. Like, we all know.
And honestly, I would respond to that much better than just avoiding the question. Also, he yelled so much last night. He gets so worked up and yells.
Yeah, I think he thinks that's a good look.
It's not.
It's interesting, it's not. Too, because the narrative that we're being fed is that Bernie Sanders is an angry man who's constantly shouting. But he's like, A, not really, but also when he is, he's talking about like healthcare and these things. When Biden does it, it's just he's frustrated with being asked questions.
Yeah.
Like, his anger comes from like having to answer stuff.
His anger comes from defensiveness versus passion.
Exactly.
Yeah, he has a scary anger. He has the, like, I feel like this guy's going to hit me anger. Where Bernie, I don't know, maybe it's just because of where he's from and where I'm from, but his anger is comforting to me. It's it's fucking adorable.
Well, because it also reflects our anger.
Yeah, that too.
Right. It's like, hey, we should be mad. Let's go do something, as opposed to like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How absolutely dare you?
Right. Yeah. Dave, you wanted to, you mentioned the age question. Let's talk about that.
Oh. Well, one thing that occurred to me, I've been saying this about Bernie and some of the older ones, where it's like, yeah, maybe you can be too old. And then they in the debate pointed out that Elizabeth Warren's up there too. And
how old is she?
They said like in her 70s.
She looks wonderful.
Is that right? Did I fuck that up?
She's 70s, I think.
Yeah, and that's when I actually reversed my thought on that. I was like, oh yeah, I guess it's fine. Like,
she looks,
that my dad
exactly 70 years
old. Yeah, my dad's 71 and he climbs Mount Washington at least once a year.
My dad's 70 and he goes to search and rescue and saves people from places. Yeah.
So it's all relative, where it's like, and then like with Bernie's heart attack, we keep saying like,
well, how
Dick
old
Cheney
is Bernie?
Had like six, and he had his first at 37. So it's like, maybe Dick Cheney shouldn't.
Right.
Like, his health was compromised.
Yeah, Cheney's still kicking. First heart attack was 37. Has had six. First heart attack was 78. Yeah.
How old is Bernie now?
78.
Right. That's a big difference between 70.
Sure. But also, like, first heart attack looked great. Doing great, very alert, and like, I thought.
I do not love that they like concealed it for a bit, but
I mean, 2 days to be in the hospital.
Oh, was it just that long?
It was like a couple of days.
I thought it was longer than that, but
seeing him, I thought it was one of his better debate nights.
He did a great job. He was great up there.
He also got, he came up, like when they started that question, he handled
he was very funny.
Yeah.
I feel great.
The Bernie stuff and like the charm, I think, is important to have for these candidates. And mm-hmm. he's very good at it because he is a genuine person.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren has them every once in a while, too, which I appreciate.
More than every once in a while. But
like,
I agree. It's not the same.
I mean, some seem like really planned. And but some she's are like, her, oh, that's off the cuff.
And she's her like, best, I think, sardonic, when sort of. She is just rolling with it. And yeah. Like, and she was, letting her geeky little cute self shine.
Yeah. And she was talking about like the general election and like, you know, when we're up against Trump or Pence or whoever the Republicans get stuck with. And that sort of flippant phrasing, I guess, and the way she delivers, like, yeah, that was just her talk.
Yeah. And I like that. More of that.
More of people just talking.
I also really liked when Biden was yelling at her about helping get the votes for, I forget the name of mm-hmm. the committee, but the one that she spearheaded, and it was, and she just shut him down and was like, no, yeah, I was very grateful to President Obama for his help then. And oh, I just loved that. I wish I had the name of it, the committee written down
here.
Yeah,
there's a lot of fun stuff.
But you guys know what I'm talking about.
Between her and Bernie and Biden when they are like, oh, yeah, like, come on, man.
I mean, I do think that she held her own pretty well, considering that it was a consistent night of people coming at her.
Yeah, it was definitely that was
night, but she did a good job.
Yeah, she did a good job at sort of just keeping, like, looking straight ahead and, like, answering the stuff in front of her and not engaging as much, like, too much. I don't know.
Yeah. I think we've talked about, one of the main struggles, I think, is just talking around the Medicare for All thing so that people around her will be like, she's not being straightforward.
Yeah, you
and
just
Bernie
have to,
is, and they can make that comparison really clearly.
As they should. It's a problem. Like, I don't want everybody to think I'm just pandering to Elizabeth Warren, because I do. I accept those, and I agree with what you guys are saying about it. I just still think that she did a good job, despite a lot of the things. It's all good to keep in mind, though, as we're watching this progress. And I guess let's just end by talking about the final question, guys, because how dumb. And what a waste of time.
Yeah.
Just teeing everybody up to talk about their most surprising friendship.
You know what's...
About McCain.
Ironic about this is that I saw conservatives and liberals teaming up on Twitter to talk about how much this sucked.
Yeah, that's what was funny.
Yeah, like they caused a unity. They caused that predator meme of the two muscly arms.
Right, Jody. Yeah, they're like this question.
Of here. Just being like CNN... just sucks so much. It,
somebody last night was like,
I get it.
Oh, maybe Tulsi will talk about Assad. I laugh.
I get it only because there is one people would consider an issue in this country is how divisive it currently.
But that's how the question was framed.
Exactly.
Really.
Right. And that's the thing. A question about, and I've heard it a few times, the what would you do about the divisiveness. I understand that. But this was, it was like, they're like, ooh, the Ellen people are talking about.
It's right.
My jaw dropped when he brought it up.
It's bonkers. Well, it is that, like, it's fine to bring up. I get it. They're like, it's part, like, we're all talking about it.
Yeah.
But framing it like your personal, like, cute little story is useless.
Yeah.
But framing it like you're going to be the leader of the nation, so what would you do? That's what you want out of it.
I really liked Elizabeth Warren's answer. I forget the guy's name. I probably should in order to talk about this. But she did like an old Reagan-era Republican that was before all this crazy.
Right.
And just about him doing something nice for her and seeing her potential. And it was like, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I liked how, I guess Klobuchar said McCain, and somebody else said McCain. Yeah. Maybe it was Cory Booker. I don't know. I can't remember. But then Biden goes last, and he's like, well, it felt like, no, if anybody gets to say McCain, I get to say McCain. Yeah, I did his eulogy.
Right.
I was like, buddy.
So one of them said like a trucker.
I think it was Yang. And he said by the end of that ride, he said he'd vote for me. And I was like, no, he won't, bud, because you're not getting the nomination.
Well, right.
And he's not a Democrat voting in our primary.
I don't need to be mean in general.
The thing I'll say about Yang is that, like, I mean, think about what we were saying about Trump. He got the nomination where it's like, who can say? And Yang seems good. And some of his, I haven't looked too much into it, but some of his stuff on how to, like, get the money for his like in the $1,000 for everyone is like getting more realistic and makes more sense and stuff like that. And so he seems cool, but like,
we did an episode for Worst Year Ever that's going to be coming out next week on Yang.
Oh, okay.
And so we go into it a bit. And he is a good guy. He seems like a good guy. I don't consider him to be a serious candidate. Yeah. And I think a lot of his policies and stuff are like, okay, you know, like he's got this one fun banking thing where you get like, you get points.
Yeah, you get fun bucks. You get American dollars.
Points for doing good deeds, like helping fix your neighbor's appliances as an example. No. And you can trade them in for tickets to a local baseball game or to speak to your elected officials. What?
Yeah.
You should be able to speak to your elected officials no matter what.
Like,
you shouldn't have to qualify for earn points. Yeah.
It's stuff like that. And like, it's not to say that he's bad. I think his heart's in the right place. And we go into his story how he got there and stuff. But, and I think it's cool. I think he's raised some interesting conversations about UBI. I don't think that the UBI that he is proposing is realistic. And we go into it. You guys should just listen to next week's episode and you can hear our thoughts about it. But he's not inherently a bad person.
Right. The moment I saw him on a skateboard, because he got on a skateboard, him and Beto, and it's just like, oh, okay, so you're both not doing great, huh? Mm.
Oh, you're both that guy.
I will say that he's better skateboarder than Beto.
Yeah. I do think if Kennedy's polling numbers drops to a certain amount, they are required to do skateboards from
tricks
on.
Or surfing.
Or surfing, sure.
Or live streaming dentist appointment.
Yeah.
Tulsi, go away.
I wish that this final question was framed a little bit better by the moderators, for sure. But also, if the answers framed a little better, like, you want people to respond to it by saying, well, yeah, obviously, like, it's important to, like, have friendships and, like, you disagree with people and so on. But, like, the thing about the Ellen situation is that George W. Bush isn't just one of her friends that wears fur.
Right.
Like, he's done things. He's caused a lot of problems. And when you're framing his actions as if, like, we just disagree, that's not accurate or fair at all.
Right. And none of them used him as an example, right?
Right. No one mentioned him.
Because no one wants to, because,
you don't want to touch the fact that, like, well, he's, like, war crime stuff.
All the war
crimes. He created Torture Island with, like, you know. Like,
that's how they should have phrased it. Like, do you guys have relationships with war criminals? Like,
exactly. That's what you want.
And then she could have talked about Assad.
New York Times,
like, oh, yeah, I got a few.
So I guess I wish somebody was willing to unpack the actual issue a little better.
Yeah.
Because, it's great to hear a story about, like, I met with a trucker. I actually talked to him and, like, we disagreed on some stuff, but I explained some things and now he's going to vote for me.
Yeah.
That's nice, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah, I agree.
It also doesn't really speak to that divisiveness of the nation or, like, the nature of some of the disagreements, because some of the disagreements are, like, who are people.
Right, because, I mean, right now, talking about Bush as a war criminal, when that started coming up with the Ellen stuff, there are people who are like, oh, now he's a war criminal now? You know? Like,
right,
it's like, can't believe he was a president. It's like, you're getting the problem.
It's not
mutually exclusive. Well, I think we really did it, guys. We really talked about this for an hour.
We really talked about
it
for an hour.
We really did.
We talked about it for 2 hours less than they talked on stage.
Yeah, that's true. Cody, that's a really good point.
Thank you so much.
You know what's another good point? Dave, tell us what you're up to online and where we can find you.
Oh, geez, all sorts of stuff. I have a whole other podcast network with Tom Ryman. We talk about mostly movie stuff.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Not news stuff, movie stuff. It's called Gamefully Unemployed. We also stream video games. You can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. There's exclusive podcasts there, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. There's all sorts of tiers that you can check out. You can make us watch movies that we don't necessarily want to watch. It's fun. It's fun stuff.
Check it out, guys. It's wonderful.
It's fun.
And of course, he's also frequent writer for us here.
Streamy nominated some more news.
Yes.
But before I go, I just want to remind you that we love you very much.
Good reminder.
It's true.
And it is true.